here we are. We're in the stairwell of Barfly in Camden. I'm with Julian Neville. He is the lead singer of Torrentine Jones, if you don't know. If you don't know who Torrentine Jones are, get with the programme, because you should know. Yeah. How are you, Julian? How long is it since we've been tweeting, and this is the first time we've actually met?
Is it right to say over a year now, at least?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have gone from having, like, what, maybe 1,000 followers to 25,000 followers on Twitter?
Yeah. I mean, my whole life is consumed now and just on Twitter now, I think, just talking to fans. Yeah. I think we've taken the model of making sure that we always speak to our fans. I think it keeps us busy. But it's great. Yeah, I think.
I mean, when we first started tweeting, because I was looking at you and I was thinking, are they a London band? Are they a Manchester band? I'm obviously originally from Manchester, but I work in London at BBC London.
Yeah.
You're Australian.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, where do they fit? Who are they? Do they fit in the London category? Do they fit in the Manchester category? Where do you see yourselves?
Well, it wouldn't be fair to say that we're not a band that's been formed and based in Manchester, because that's where we all converged from our little native countries. I think, you know, Tom's from Finland, Rich is from Wales, I'm from Oz. We all sort of ended up in the same city, and that's where we formed. I think our manager likes to say, if you put a sort of a centre point from where we're all from, we're probably a Brazilian band or something.
So basically, you're a band of the world kind of thing.
Well, yeah. We travel so much and we do a lot of stuff here. We do a lot of stuff in Manchester. And it's really nice to have kind of like more than one home, I think. You know, Manchester's not where we're originally from, but it feels like home. But so does London as well, because we're not really attached. We're not born into a city here, and it's kind of like there's an attachment to places we play a lot of, you know, frequently. So,
are you still working down here then?
I am, yeah. So that's the other thing.
A day job still.
Yeah, so I work in Manchester and London. My job sort of travels me around a bit. So when I talk about sort of having more than one home, London and Manchester, it's kind of like, yeah, it is. It's London and Manchester.
So how often are you here then, down in London?
I'm here 3 days a week. And then, yeah, and then do shows on weekends, Fridays, Thursday nights, you know. It's a busy life, but I'm young enough to deal with it, so that's all right.
But look, it must have been a mega year for you, because you literally have gone from zero to kind of hero, haven't you?
Yeah. I think, I don't know, I can't tell you where it all started, but when we brought Rich on board, you know, our drummer, we've been together 2 years now, as of November. And, hey, man.
Hey, dude. Right. Pretty good, man, honestly.
Thanks, man.
What's going on?
I broke my finger in goal the other day, and you just gripped that. Really? No, I'm joking.
Oh, dude.
Good show, anyway. Good show.
Thanks, man.
Honestly, really
Cheers.
Good.
Perfect. Thank you.
Fans?
Yeah. That's a nice little thing, isn't it, really? We've been here 2 years with Rich, and I think it all just kind of kicked off when we started releasing music. You know, actually having product, something to sell at CD at shows, and you know, give fans stuff to take home and listen to and stuff. So,
listen, I meet a lot of artists, a lot of bands, a lot of people that are really, really trying to make it, and things have changed, haven't they? It's not just about having a contract and, you know, selling CDs and stuff. It's about exposure, isn't it?
Massive.
Is that what you know, am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, it's spot
Tell
on.
Me from an insider's perspective. Well, how does it work?
It's spot on. I mean, I think every artist would like to tell you they still want a label, they want a record deal and all that kind of stuff, right? But you've got to think about what you want, really, what you really want as a band. I think exposure is a massive thing, right? And how do you get that? You get that on radio, you get that on TV, you get that on online, you know. And you've got to work those areas a little bit. And when we got together and when we got to Glastonbury, we were like, right, we don't feel like we're prepared for this. And when it all happened and we got on stage and we're on BBC, on the TV and all that, everything just kind of exploded. And we weren't really ready for that. And I think, you know, since then we've really sort of reinvented ourselves and sort of re-established our goals, what we want out of it and stuff. And we went out and got a publishing deal, because I think that was a smart move, because there's money to be made in publishing, but there's also a massive amount of potential to be you know, to get that exposure and stuff on TV and adverts and whatever else. So, I mean, bands have got to be smart about it these days, because you're not making money off records anymore. You got to find other avenues, and we've looked at those other avenues, and we're now sort of going down those avenues, you know, publishing deals and brand endorsements, sponsorships, stuff like that, where you're going to make a bit of money that's going to help you when you travel and do tours and stuff. And, you know, we've done 60 shows this year.
Glastonbury, I mean, come on!
Yeah, yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, very cool. It's an amazing... I think... You never know who's listening, you know. And I think the fact that Jason Carter, who was the man to give us that spot on stage, the fact that these people were listening, we never knew that these people were listening. And that's the beauty of music. You know, people talk, people share music. It's another language. And I think, you know, without going so deep into it, I think you just, if people share a common thing, you know, they'll share it and they'll talk about it, and that's the way it is. And just ended up in Jason's lap, and he loved it. And we got an invitation to play Glastonbury, and I was in Australia at the time, and then I flew back, cut my holiday short, and come back for it.
There's a lot of disaffection, though, isn't there, about the state of music in Britain at the moment, and, you know, how everything sounds the same. And you've obviously managed to do something different. How have you managed to do that? What's so special about Turrentine Jones?
I think, to put it simply, we've just stuck to our roots. You know, we've not changed or been influenced by what we hear today or yesterday or tomorrow. It's kind of like...
But you've not had any influences?
Yeah,
massively. You must have done.
Yeah, yeah. I think if we... Not from the last 15 years, I don't think. And I think the way that radio's kind of gone in the last 10, 15 years, and there's a real sort of focus on the younger generation and TV competitions, singing competitions and all that kind of stuff, churning it out every year to just make some money. And it's a smart business model. I come from I work a day job and I know how this shit works. And it's kind of like, you know, it's all good. But for bands, because the online thing's all kind of exploded, there's so many and there's so much noise, it's hard to get that, you know, to get heard out there. Yeah, you're dropping the ocean. And I think for us it was kind of like... We know what we like. We all seem to have a common and mutual love for soul music and rock and roll and blues of 30, 40 years ago, 60s. You know, you can call us retro, you can call us whatever you like, but we just sort of bring something a little bit fresh. We're tweaking what has already been done and making it a little bit more fresh and introducing it to the young people, and they seem to dig it. So it's, you know, we're gonna just from what we get reciprocated from crowds. We just continue to keep doing what it is. So.
What next for 2015 then?
2015, we've got shows, we've got a new booking agent, Rough Trade are looking after us, we've got a new management, and we got shows up till May now, just sort of all around the country, new cities we've not played before.
Do they know about you in Australia?
They do, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My mum's been working. She's been working flat out, just giving it, you know, door to door. No, I mean, it's we get played on local stations and stuff, which is kind of cool. But we've not explored Australia hard enough yet. We still want to crack UK. We're nowhere near that yet, you know. And next year, you know, Dan, our manager, wants to say it's a defining year because we've got a record out now. And we're causing a lot of buzz in shows and going around new cities, blah, 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 sharing, selling music. Next year, it's all about the key things for us, playing Isle of Wight. John Giddings, who, you know, he's responsible for sort of settling out the lineups and stuff. He's pretty keen to get us on. We almost got on that this year. Didn't happen. We're going to do some shows with the Specials next year. And we're booking shows all around next summer, festivals, you know. And, you know, golden ticket for us is aiming to get on Jules Holland. That's our key for us next year. We always have something that's just a little bit out of our reach, you know.
What do people at work think about your other life?
They don't know about my other life. I have three lives, yeah. So I go to work and come home. And I don't talk about music, I don't talk about my weekend where I've got shows and interviews and whatever else. I go to work and do my job and come home. And
why not? Why don't you tell your colleagues?
Well, I think it's having a separation from work is a kind of good thing as well as anything, because you've got more to show. You know, you're when I go to work, people expect me to be a professional in what I do, my role, right? If I start talking about music, I don't know, from that perspective, I think that I'm going to lose the respect of my work colleagues in a way, because, you know, I have people to look after, a team and all that kind of shit. So, you know, I don't disclose that stuff, but at the same time, when I'm at gigs, I don't say that I have a job, you know, that I've got a day job.
Is that the secret, though, to being successful? Like, literally plugging away at it in your free time, in your weekends and your evenings, but having a job, a normal day, 9-to-5 job at the same time?
I don't think people expect you as a musician to have a job. I think there's a mystique, there's something that you carry around and it sort of circles you when you're around, that you create from the music that you play and what you do. And it's kind of like when you become a regular person, just like them, you know, in a way, you lose that. You lose that kind of mystique, that kind of...
But that could be quite inspirational at the same time.
Yeah, of course it can, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like...
You're not just sitting at home waiting for something to happen.
No, you're not, that's
right. You're living your life as a normal person.
Yeah.
And you've got this alter ego as a rock star.
Well, that's kind of how Tarantine Jones formed. I mean, Tarantine Jones is... The name is an alter ego of me. That's what it is. Tarantine Jones is just another person that I've created, and the songs are a story about Tarantine Jones. It's a character.
Where'd you get the name from then?
Tarantine Jones. So it's a sort of a school thing. If you want to wind it back a little bit, Tarantine Jones. Tarantine is the surname of a jazz muso that my father loved, Stanley Turrentine. And he had all these records, and I kind of took that sort of something from my childhood into the now. And Jones was kind of it's kind of a nickname that I got when I was at school. So I kind of put something from my past.
Were you Indiana Jones or something?
Well, I don't know where it came from. I have absolutely no idea. It just became me, I think, in the playground. All these songs I wrote, you know, before I came over here, a lot of them I've developed and, you know, just sort of moulded to the band and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, it is what it is. I always like to keep my private life separate, and this is the other life I live. So I've got a professional life, I've got music life, I've got a private life, you know.
Well, I wish you luck kind of trying to keep that secret for much longer.
Well, yeah, well, not anymore.
No, someone's going to find out.
It will eventually happen.